Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to a CCTA Wake Up Call. In the studios here at Fernwood this morning, I have Hal James.
Hey there.
Rainer James.
Good morning.
Connie Hanna.
Hi.
And Ed Stiles from Americans for Prosperity. Welcome, Ed.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
The reason we have Ed with us this morning is a group of people from CCTA just recently took a trip up to Columbus, Ohio for the Defending American Dream Summit that AFP sponsored. And Ed, I'm going to have to say it was one of the most well-organized and put-together events I've been to.
It certainly was.
Well, I gotta tell you, it was a big effort, to be sure. I don't think we'd ever had a summit where we had 3,600 activists,
all right,
literally coming from across the country. As a matter of fact, we actually had 2,000 activists on 42 buses. And these buses were coming from as far west as Oklahoma. Like I said, it was the biggest one I'd ever seen, and who knows how we're going to outdo ourselves next year.
Yeah.
it's going to be fun.
I can't wait to find out.
I remember you had people there from Alaska and Hawaii both, too. That was impressive.
That's right. That's really, all the way from Hawaii, yeah.
How many states do you think were represented?
Oh,
37, 38, something like that, I believe.
Easily, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, if I remember the count correctly, we actually just opened our 38th chapter in Mississippi, and we're planning on adding another chapter in Alabama. Now, one thing I want to point out, we started, just to give you an idea of the growth of this organization, we started with 3 state chapters back in 2004. North Carolina was one of the charter chapters, if you will. There were only 3 of us. I forget who the other 2 were at right now, but right now I think we're about 38, 39 state chapters.
Right.
Across.
That's
the
great. Do you know Do you know where the next one will be held?
I don't. I'm hearing a lot of rumors and speculation, but that always tends to happen right after the Defending the American Dream Summit. And honestly, it's not narrowed down to any one specific region of the country. So it's kind of, I'm hearing Florida, possibly Kansas. Who knows? We'll probably have a final announcement on that probably after the first of the year.
Well, before we go any further, for our listeners out there that might not be familiar with Americans for Prosperity, I'm a cheat. I'm on the website, which is AmericansForProsperity.org. And their mission, Americans for Prosperity has a vision for an America where truly free markets allow for free and prosperous people. We use cutting-edge tools and technology to support a network of more than 2.3 million engaged citizens who are working to bring that vision to life. And we just saw a small sample of that 2.3 million when we had 3,600 there. And I'm going to skip on down. Our mission is to mobilize citizens to advocate for policies that cut red tape and increase opportunity, put the brakes on government overspending, and get the economy working for hard workers and not special interests. And that goes right along with CCTA's mission statement.
Yeah, we're natural affiliates, really.
Really right. Good match.
And also,
nonpartisan as well.
They're nonpartisan as well. Americans for Prosperity is not a partisan organization. They're a conservative organization.
I'd like to add something to that, if I may, just to kind of give folks an example as to just how nonpartisan we really are. We've been, of course, right here in North Carolina, we've been very active in trying to get a Republican legislature and a Republican governor to support the repeal of the Certificate of Need, which I'm sure y'all have talked about extensively.
We're really disappointed it hasn't gone well this year.
And then And then just two more examples in other states. In Tennessee, and I'm happy to say that I was very much a part of this effort, in Tennessee, we actually fought a Republican governor and Republican leadership of the, of their legislature in the efforts to expand Medicaid. We defeat, as a matter of fact, I don't mind telling you, on the drive back to North Carolina, we got a call from the state director saying, oh, congratulations, the Senate just killed Medicaid expansion.
Wonderful.
And then, of course, in Missouri, we're seemingly fighting an uphill battle, but we're fighting the good fight in trying to get get the legislature to override Governor Jay Nixon's veto of right to work legislation. So that's actually one of our biggest projects across the country.
One.
Indeed, yeah.
And one of the things that I really enjoyed about the conference was hearing some of the presidential candidates speak and being up close enough to actually, you know, feel like there was a little bit of interaction between the group, the crowd, yeah, and the speaker.
Yeah,
and
we were on the third row from the front. For the second session where three of them spoke.
Right. And they had Bobby Jindal there, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz was there. I thought he gave a really dynamic speech. Who are some of the others?
Rick Perry.
Yeah, Rick Perry, that's right.
Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
I tell you, Ted Cruz got the most reaction, the warmest reaction. He sounded like an activist.
Mm-hmm.
He talked the way we talk to each other, and people really responded to that.
They did. Now, one thing I do want to stress is Americans for Prosperity doesn't endorse candidates. As a matter of fact, we invited every single candidate that is with us.
Yes.
To come, and actually somebody asked me, why didn't we invite Donald Trump? Well, we did, but it turned out he had another great big rally down in Alabama. But it's this is going to be a very interesting year.
Yeah.
Because this year and next will tell a lot about the direction of our country. I mean, especially in terms of what kind of economy we're going to have in 2017 and beyond. Do we turn back in the direction of economic freedom, or do we just continue to seemingly tread water, you know, on a downward slide like we have been?
By ignoring the Constitution, because if we didn't ignore the Constitution, we would have economic freedom and lots of other kinds of freedom as well.
Mm-hmm. You'll get no argument from me on that one.
Get the government back to doing what the government's supposed to do and get them out of all this other business.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Which really needs to reside with the states and with we, the people. Mm-hmm. Make our own decisions.
Well, as Hal pointed out, there was a great list of speakers there, and all of them did an outstanding job. Even ones I don't personally care to support
Bobby Jindal surprised me because he focused on what he had done as governor and that business of actually cutting taxes. Not cutting the rate of increase, but cutting taxes and cutting the number of employees in the state.
Yeah.
That was real. Right. I get so annoyed when people in government or people who want to be in government talk about slowing the rate of increase. It has gotten mammoth. It's in our way. It's choking us to death. We need real, true cuts.
All right. And even Governor Rick Perry. You know, it was pretty loud in there. A lot of enthusiasm.
And
the music and the crowd was just so engaged. But at one point, Governor Rick Perry started talking about being over in France and over the
Normandy.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And about the graves there. The Stars of David and crosses facing west back to America.
Yeah.
You could have heard a pin drop.
Yes.
That really touched everybody.
That.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
So because of all that, all of them did such a great job. I tweeted out a question for the next debate. I don't know if it'll ever get anywhere or get picked up, but I'd love for them to ask this question. If of all the candidates that are in the debate, if you are not elected president of the United States, will you agree to serve in the administration in whatever capacity that's required?
You know, I'd like to see that question asked with a little teeny bit different spin. And that is, if you are the candidate who is elected president, will you seek to fill your cabinet from among the other people on stage?
Right. It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, will you be willing to do it, and will you ask them to do it? Because if, can you imagine if you had those candidates who were on the stage all working together on behalf of America?
Yeah. I will say this. There is, among those that are running, there are, and I'm talking about more specifically candidates who support Americans for Prosperity's positions, there is an incredible amount of talent.
There is.
It would be a shame to not utilize that talent. There's so much there.
Well, we need to stop and take a break here, so we'll be back and continue this discussion in just a moment. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Here again in the studios at Fernwood, we have with us a special guest, and we're talking about Americans for Prosperity with Mr. Ed Stiles. He's the, what is your title here in North Carolina?
I am the field director for Eastern North Carolina. Basically, my four, the four biggest cities. Let me go ahead and throw in a fifth one there, because I accidentally leave them out, and I don't mean to. But basically, my areas, my cities are Goldsboro, Wilson, Kinston, Greenville, and of course, right here in New Bern.
Great. We're glad to have you. We were talking about the speakers, the presidential candidates that spoke at the Defending American Dream Act, or not Act.
The Summit.
Summit, right. In Columbus, Ohio. And besides that, there was a lot of other activity going on, too, and they had breakout sessions. Sal, you want to tell us what
some of those I'm glad were? You brought that out, Rick, because I was looking back through the titles of some of the breakout sessions, and I was able to go to some of them, and I thought they were just wonderful. Here's one, Power for the People, Threats and Wins in the States on Energy Policy. And here's another one, Finding Your Opportunity in the Free Market Economy. While print still matters in the free market movement, how to talk to millennials about freedom. A Washington power grab, how the growth of federal agencies is threatening our laboratories of democracy. It was the name of Ty Lode. I like the word republic better myself, but that's a small gripe. Here's another one, Obama's internet takeover. Another one, grassroots activism that works, how to be influential, call your legislator.
Yeah.
Tell your story, countering the left narratives. Here's another one, learn the tricks of the trade with these AFP experts. It taught you a lot. One of them we went to, they were talking about how to letters to the editor and how to draft them
and talk show programs.
What was really impressive to me is every one of them was filled to capacity.
Yes,
there was standing room only. People were standing around the walls, and we were in the convention center, and these rooms were large.
Yep.
They held a lot of people. So
here's a couple more. An update on how Obamacare and its medical expansion is affecting you. And here's one that I really like. School choice, empowering families to give every child a chance. Tried and true, how to raise awareness through letters to the editor and local talk radio. We just mentioned that.
You know, that mm-hmm. was an interesting one.
It was.
I remember asking, and there was a question and answer opportunity, even everyone I attended, ask if you were in a market where the local paper tended to publish letters from call them libs, call them progressives, call them whatever you want to, but predominantly those kinds of letters to the editor got published, and people who wrote from a conservative perspective tended to not see print.
You got a round of applause with that question.
But they had a wonderful answer. They said, don't write fewer letters, write more, and enlist the help of other people to also write letters on the same subject. And said, if you really want to make a change, get as many people as possible to send as many of those sorts of letters, even to that sort of paper, and told a little story about something they had done in Columbus that had nixed a tax to put in a zoo in another jurisdiction, not even the jurisdiction mm-hmm. that the proposed tax was in, and they started a campaign, and people came out of the woodwork and joined in on
all
it.
Right. There's lots you can learn, but here's one I'd like for Ed to address if we got time, is the right to work and prevailing wage, understanding the case for workers' freedom of choice. And that AFP's done a lot of work in right to work states.
That is correct. We're carrying on a big fight in Missouri. The one thing I found in Missouri, and this is really an anomaly here, is that you've got probably a lot of people who might be conservatives in most areas, but they've basically been fed a huge pack of lies by the unions. It just boggled the mind, and another aspect of that too is that there were probably some people who probably might have been with us but didn't really want to say it too loud because maybe their neighbor's a union official or what have you. But the one thing, and I wish I'd thought to bring information with me about this. There are so many different aspects about what the unions are telling the rank and file about right to work that, quite frankly, is just not true.
Kind of like the hospitals are telling their workers things about certificate of need and what will happen as a result of getting rid of it if we should achieve that. That are pack of lies.
Exactly. It's scare tactics, basically. And now I would probably venture to say, and I know this because I've got some members of my family that are that are in the Midwest that are members of unions. Their tactics are probably considerably more brutal, I would say, than the hospital, but yeah, it's along the same things. It's along the same track. They're basically trying to protect their turf, and in sure. the process, in the process, basically, just putting out a lot of things that are just quite frankly just not true.
All right, let's take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're here with Ed Stiles, Hal and Rainer James, and Connie Hanna talking about Americans for Prosperity and some of the training that is upcoming. And Hal, you had some questions about that.
You know, the point is that we can learn an awful lot by taking some of the training that AFP has to offer activists. And we got some good news about that recently.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, I need to kind of put in a little bit of a disclaimer here. What we're going to be starting on the 10th of September in New Bern is something called Grassroots Leadership Academy. That is actually not something that is put on by Americans for Prosperity, but put on by our sister organization, Americans for Prosperity Foundation, which is a 501c3.
So it's an education activity.
That is exactly right. And I was flipping through while we were on the commercial break. I can tell you that we do have an instructor that is going to be coming in, and he is going to be talking basically the name of the first course that we're going to be doing on September 10th is Making the Case for Economic Freedom. And there's a lot of a lot of people out there, I think. I probably could fall into the same category. They've got the right idea. They stand for the right things, but they don't necessarily know how to effectively put forth the argument. And that's one of the things that we've got somebody that's going to be coming in from our national headquarters to help us to do. And it goes, I will say that Grassroots Leadership Academy is basically, it's a three-part course. The the first part is the activist certification. Again, number one, how to make a case, you know, making a case for economic freedom, dealing with the tactics of the left. Matter of fact, I don't know if we're going to get her as an instructor. I hope we do. She actually worked for Acorn several years ago until she saw the light and came over to our side. And I've heard her speak before, and she's magnificent. If we can't get her for GLA, we'll probably try to.
Is that the Moncrief woman that you talked
about? That is her. Like I said, I can't promise that, but I'm trying like crazy to get her here because I know she's.
Don't
very,
take no for an answer.
I'll do my best.
I'm glad you brought up those points because that's where the other side has been superior. And I'm talking about the progressive. They have done so much training and the social media and those areas they've been so strong in.
Community organizing.
And that's where they get all of their victories
and
from.
And, you know, we have worked really hard. By we, I mean CCTA now, have worked really hard. We go to the legislature. We meet with our representatives in the Senate and the House there. And we've done a lot of things. But I feel like we're stumbling around sometimes with OJT, on-job training.
Sure,
And so we're stumping our toes, whereas if we could learn some techniques that actually work, perhaps we could learn a whole lot faster and be a whole lot more effective sooner.
That's exactly right. And the nice thing about GLA, I mean, you've got, you know, as I said, you got we'll call it Block 1, which is your activist certification. That's going to go on for 6 weeks between September 10th and October 15th. And then you got part two, which would be the more advanced part of that's what we would call the super certification. And then we'd have the leader. Block three is a leadership certification, where basically it's basically a multi-day boot camp that's held at our national headquarters.
Who can take this training?
Anyone who wants to be a certified activist who basically shares our principles and our values of limited government and free enterprise.
Great. And how do they get in touch with somebody to join up?
Well, my biggest, probably the easiest way would be to call me. My phone number is 252-493-2738. Call me and I will certainly get you enrolled in the program, and then hopefully we will see you on the 10th of September.
Well, that's great, Ed. We've run out of time. We hate it, but that's the way it is. And again, we want to recognize AFP for the great work they're doing. And that's another area that I'm proud of here, is that CCTA and AFP and other like-minded organizations are starting to partner together and accomplish great things. And we appreciate you so much in the work you're doing and what you're helping us to get accomplished. And I'm looking forward to the activist leadership training there. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back again next week.